is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game, the Predators are the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. But Floyd, I got one thing that worries me. You know me, I'm always worried. Although I'm not as always worried as you. You know, you worry about every team, every game, every little thing and all that. And you know, I'm over here guaranteeing victories and so on and so forth. But I have one thing that I'm a little nervous about. I'm just telling you, just a little nervous. And that is this last part of the season, right? Like, tomorrow night is a big game against Toronto, theoretically. Like, it's a big game for Toronto because they're playing for seeding and they're not technically in the playoffs and all of that. But is tomorrow night really a big game for you?
For the Preds?
Yes.
No.
If you lose tomorrow, you know, it's... No, it's not. Now, it'd be nice to win every game the rest of the way because it is nice to win every game. But, you know, you've pretty much made your bed now. I mean, and that's in a good way. You've made your bed to the standpoint of, unless you just collapse right down the stretch, you're probably going to have home ice in every series in the Western Conference. And theoretically, you probably should have home ice in every series except maybe one in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that would be Tampa if Tampa passes you, which there's no guarantee that Tampa's not going to pack it in now that they've clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And what worries me is something we saw manifest itself last year via the Chicago Blackhawks. The Chicago Blackhawks last year were the best team in the Western Conference going away. And they had this puppy wrapped up right around the same time you've got it wrapped up now. And they totally packed it in. They lost their last four games. They lost six of their last eight. They were resting guys. They were getting ready for the playoffs, baby! And what happened when they got out there? They could not ramp up the intensity to the level that they had to play at. Although, I'll argue games one and three, they certainly were very intense. They just got beaten by Pecorine. They got beat by Pecorine. But they couldn't get it done. And I'm worried about it. I'm worried about this team being ready round one when that puck drops because of what the last part of the season is going to be like.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, but this last part of the season is going to be hard. I mean, I'm tired of it. You know, I want to get past it. I want to get to the playoffs.
Baby!
You know, they can't do that. But, I mean, it's got to be hard for them to stay focused. And that's probably true for, you know, like you said, all the teams that have it sewn up and they know they're going to be there. Now, if there's somebody that's still fighting for a spot, that won't be the issue. If there's somebody that wants to, you know, get home field all, or home ice all the way through, then, you know, they'll continue to fight. But, I mean, everybody, this is a long season, you know, a lot of games and here we are, we're a couple weeks away, and let's get this thing going, get into the playoffs, and see if we can achieve our goal.
Well, here's what's crazy. Like, if you're Toronto, Toronto's going to make the playoffs. They'll clinch a playoff spot sometime next week, which is fine, because then they'll have, like, four more games to go where literally they can rest injured guys and they can kind of take their time, and then they go right into the playoffs. You've done this with, like, 3 weeks to go. I mean, we kind of knew since that trip that started in Winnipeg where they went all around. What was it? Was it all of Western Canada? It was Winnipeg and then the Western Canada teams, right? Like, they went to Winnipeg and they had that crazy game where they came back from 3-1 and 5-3 and they came back to win, and then they won that road trip. And it's like, ever since then, it's just a foregone conclusion. The Preds are the best team in the West, or one of the best. Now it's just, like, now it's cruise control for 2.5 weeks. And I don't care how good your coach is, or how bought in your team is, or how it's hard to do that when you're at that level the whole time. I mean, you were with the Patriots, so what's it like when you clinch a division in November and you know that, hey, you got to get through these last games against the Dolphins and the Bills and the Saints, and then go turn around 2 weeks later, you get a week off, and then it's for real, and now it's the playoffs, and now there's a team that's coming to knock you off.
Yeah,
how do you
do that? That's hard. But you have to keep in mind, of course, that's a quarter of your season, too. You know, you can't coast a quarter of the season. And I'm sure the Preds know that, and they're not. You know, they're talking about, what is it, nine games? How many games are left? 10 games? Okay, so you're talking about less than, 10% of your season, let's say, roughly. And they've got it, have had it sewn up for a while, and they know that, but it really has an effect. And one of the things that could really help him is as he continues to rotate things. That may help, you know, because the new guys coming in there, whoever it is that's going to get a chance to play, they're going to be excited about it, and you know that'll give you a little oomph, I think, when you get down to game time. But I mean, this team hasn't—I don't think they've slacked off a bit. Now,
no,
you know, here in the next however many games, maybe they do, but they certainly have. And you have to think about last year. Before we went into the playoffs, I mean, we were playing everybody. Don't you remember? You were so mad.
Zolnarchuk,
Aberg. Thinking, we're not trying to win. Yeah. How can we not try to win? And we were just playing everybody. And so I assume he's kind of going to kind of approach it the same way.
Well, especially, too, like, this is going to sound crazy, but we're in the interesting business. Sports talk radio is about being interesting. It's like people will say things like, you were so wrong about that 6 months ago. Why do you still have a job? And it's because the show is more popular than it was 6 months ago, and that's our jobs. And I'm like, I'm kind of hoping that Ellie Tolvanen loses, not so they can get him over here, but because, see, that will be interesting. Like, even if they have everything wrapped up, but Ellie Tolvanen's making his NHL debut, we all have to watch. And then we all have to talk about it the next day for 4 hours. Or, like, if Pekka continues his winning streak, and I think Adam Vingan said the record for consecutive starts won by a goalie is 17. And Pekka's at 11 right now. And then all of a sudden, Pekka wins 4 in a row. Now Pekka's at 15, the record 17. You've got 5 games to play. Like, then are we going to sit there and say, okay, let's see if Pekka gets this record? I mean, I wonder if you're Peter Laviolette, if you use something like that as a means to keep this team mentally locked in.
You might. I mean, the thing that always scares you when you use things like that
is they get too bent out of shape chasing that and take their eye off the real goal.
Well, no, not that as much as, you know, you've talked about it so much and it's such a big deal and you go out there and everybody's trying to do it and you end up losing a quality player because of it.
Like somebody goes down to trying to block a shot, trying to get Pekka 16, yeah, and then all of a sudden Austin Watson's got a cracked shin bone.
Yeah, somebody getting hurt chasing a goal that, you know, may not be that big a deal to a team. Now, it would be big to Pekka, I'm sure it would be. And that's not – I'm sure the rest of the team would enjoy it too. But, you know, I'm not sure your choice is, okay, you've got it made, you've had it made, just get ready for the playoffs, or let's chase this goal. You know, let's chase this record so that we can do, I don't know. I never liked that idea.
The other thing I hate about the idea of playing Anaheim in the first round is, like, you can't lose that first game against Anaheim. Because if you lose the first game of a playoff series, now you've given away home ice. You know, you've worked and worked and worked and worked to get home ice.
Yeah.
You lose game one. Now, all of a sudden, you've given it right back to them. And against a team like Anaheim, who has playoff experience and talented veteran players, that can really bite you in the behind. Now, if you do it to Colorado, I'm not really all that concerned. Like, if you come out game one and your energy level in the first period is not at the level that it should be of the playoffs for a game against Colorado, you'll still find a way to beat Colorado because they're not on your level and you always beat Colorado. But with Anaheim, I mean, I would be a little worried about that.
Well, I worry about the travel. I mean, after the last couple of years and seeing the effect it had on this team, I mean, I just don't want to have to go to Anaheim a couple of times.
Well, you can make that very simple by winning two here, winning two there, or winning two here, one there, and then one here, and you only go there once.
And back, yeah.
Well, you'd have to come back no matter what.
Right. But you don't want to – I mean, I didn't think it was so, but after last year when we started with those easy trips, I mean, we got – it seemed like we were never tired. I mean, didn't even talk about it. You know, playing an away game, you want to play them all in Bridgestone, obviously, but playing an away game wasn't a big deal. That's fine. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go up there. You know, you got to go all the way to St. Louis. Oh, okay, let's go. So I think that made a world of difference.
Well, that's why, again, root for those Central Division teams. Root for Dallas. Root for, root for Colorado to lose. Root for Dallas. And if the Lord is looking at the Predators, Like, if the Predators have a sister gene on their side right now, they'll get St. Louis in, so you get to play them in the first round. That would be the one that St. Louis is a dumpy team right now that's given up on the season. Their goalies are subpar. Their coach stinks. It's a quick trip, and you own them. Oh, I think I'd rather have St. Louis in the first round than Colorado. And I've guaranteed victory over Colorado in the first round. Oh, man. St. Louis. Oh. Sister Jean, if you can hear me, I know you've got a lot of basketball on your mind, but if you could help out the St. Louis Blues, Sister Jean, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Your calls on the Preds. And here's the question for the callers at 615-737-1025. How concerned are you that the Preds are going to kind of shut it down a little bit going into the end of the season and maybe have trouble getting it ramped up again when the playoffs start? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And the goalies. We always talk about your goalie, Pecorine, but we don't talk about the other goalies. But how big of a role can they play in the playoffs? We'll get into that coming up next. Jared and the GM, we are live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet, right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Oh, it's good. I mean, the guys worked really hard. Everybody did. I mean, the staff and the other coaches and certainly the players worked extremely hard to this point. So it is about getting in. It's about getting rounds of home ice. All of that, I think, helps you try to be successful when you get there.
Peter Laviolette, what is going to keep that team motivated? I mean, there's just going to be some natural element that they're going to kind of turn it down a little bit and then have to ramp it up to start the playoffs. And I was thinking during the break about the idea of Bridgestone Arena's home crowd, what that atmosphere is going to be like for the start of game one of round one. And that may get the Predators, if they were going down a couple notches, that may in and of itself ramp them up a little bit.
Are you talking about for the playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, they'll be cranked.
I mean, game one, round one's going to be nuts. See, I'm not sold on that. I worry about a lot of stuff because that's what we have. We've got 3 weeks to worry about this. And then it gets into matchups and teams and things like that. Let's go right to your phones at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, which, by the way, I've got a great stat for you that I'll get to a second. Somebody tweeted me. But Al is going to kick us off here on the Preds. Thank you for calling. What's up, Al?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I think, I can understand that fans and all are concerned and worried, but I don't think professional athletes think on that side. The Predators haven't lost more than two games in a row at any time this year, okay? And they've played a lot of good teams. Okay, they have the experience from last year. They know what it takes to get in there. There's a lot of teams that we're going to play in the playoffs that don't have that type of experience. Okay, so I think professional athletes don't worry about things they can't control. So it doesn't make any difference to the Preds, I am sure.
I think professional athletes worry about everything that could possibly go wrong. But I know what you mean. Al, that's a really good call. And I do want to hit on something he said there. When he talked about the Preds have not lost two games in a row. More than two games in a row is what he said? That they have not lost more than two games in a row this season. That goes back to my whole argument, the whole Golden State Predators theory. That they're just better than everybody. What are the chances that this is a team that is just flat out better than everybody else in the league?
I would have to think better than most.
No, but I'm talking about, like, again, UConn women's basketball. Now, not like win 115 in a row, but the UConn women's basketball is so much better than everybody else in the sport on a year-in and year-out basis. What if this team is just that much better than everybody else they play? Like the 1998 Yankees, who won 125 games or something and got in the playoffs and just ran through the playoffs and swept the Padres in the World Series. What if they're that good?
We'll know pretty quick.
I mean, what do you think the chances are that they are that good?
Oh,
I think it's legit.
I think their depth is up there with any other team, but I'd say their top-end talent may be equal to some of the other teams. So, I don't know. It kind of evens out.
I don't. I mean, that was my argument we Ryan and I talked about this the other day. I mean, I don't. There's probably teams that have a better top two lines out there,
mm-hmm.
but nobody has better four. So which one wins? I don't know. You know, I mean, I feel with our defense, I feel really, really good about the fact that, you know, we can beat you up with our depth simply because the defense is going to play so well. But I mean, I don't know that. I mean, last year we played pretty good defense, and now this team is better than it was last year. But I mean, Pittsburgh had, when it came to the firepower, they had it, and that made a difference. So I don't know.
Yeah, but you didn't have the depth you had last year, and Pittsburgh had more depth than they have this year. I agree with you, though. Like, if you get into a series with, like, nobody – Winnipeg. Winnipeg's a perfect example of this. Patrick Laine is a better forward than anybody you have.
Right.
Patrick Laine is a great player. Laine, Wheeler, Ehlers, that crew. Like, can they score four goals a game? Yes, they can. So that, I think there's, like – like, is the high-end talent of Winnipeg in a playoff series going to overcome the fact that once you get into the third, fourth lines or, you know, third D pairs or whatever, you're significantly better than them? It's a very fair question to ask that I don't know the answer to, but again, I'm rolling with this until I feel differently. Golden State Predators. That's what they are. The Golden State Predators. Now, let me ask you, who do you think's, how much NBA basketball have you watched this year?
Not much.
Who do you think's going to win the finals?
There's only two teams. I mean, every year you go through this, it's always the same thing. It's Golden State, and who do you want? San Antonio? You want Cleveland? You want, you know.
It was always Golden State and Cleveland, but then Kyrie Irving left Cleveland, so right. Now that it's Golden State. I mean, I don't watch a lick of NBA basketball, though I did go to a game Friday night. Golden State will win the NBA championship. I'm just telling you all right now. And maybe you're like Golden State of the NHL. The Golden State Predators. Oh, my goodness. Somebody call that Fang Fingers TN company or whatever. Somebody call them. I want a Golden State Predators t-shirt, and I want the proceeds of those sales to go, or some of them, like a percentage, to go to the Floyd Reese for the children's fund. Let's go back to the phones. Mike's up next here on Jared the GM. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First-time caller. I would say I'd be more worried about injuries. I think we got obviously a lot more depth this year, so injuries are less of a factor. But I wanted to get you guys' take on what were some key components as, you know, which lines would take the biggest hit if there was an injury to occur. You know, sort of like what we had, Fiala, Johansson, those sort of injuries last year. I'll hang up and listen.
I'm going to start with Pekka being the number one that I would worry about.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's the one that cannot happen. But other than that,
give me Pekka and the four defensemen. Give me those four, and I feel good the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of them, you're going to have the depth, and those guys move up and down the line so easily. So if God forbid, if you were to lose Johansson, you don't have to necessarily say, okay, now our, you know, fourth line center's got to move to the first line. No. We got a couple of guys ahead there that if you want to slide them up, you can do that easy enough.
But, well, it's like if Steph goes out, the Warriors still have Klay and Kevin Durant and Draymond. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm calling them the Golden State Predators. Because if Johansson goes out, then, you know, Sissons goes up to that spot. But Turris is still with Smith and Fiala. And the Golden State Predators. Boy, I like the sound of that. Although, does Golden State play a lot of defense? I think they're more about shooting the ball, right?
They play no defense. They shoot.
All about shooting the ball.
That's right. They shoot.
That is true. The Golden State Predators. Zach is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Zach?
How we doing, guys?
Go ahead.
So, what I like to play the devil's advocate, what similarities do you see with the Predators facing the Blackhawks in round one last year versus us being in the Blackhawks position in a team like Colorado or one of those hot teams coming in? I mean, I think there's some similarities there. What do you guys see as staying in the right frame of mind?
I think the biggest similarity is the fact that you've been in basically control the entire season, just like the Blackhawks were throughout all of last regular season. Other than that, I'm not sure there are a ton of comparisons. The way Pekka is playing right now is better than Corey Crawford is. Your defense is better than Chicago's defense. That team was old. This team is not. So I don't see a ton of similarities, but The one being that the Blackhawks were basically in control for most of the season.
I think they were in control for most of the season, and I'm just going to guess there was no doubt in their mind, but they were going to make it at least to the finals. I mean, there was no, we'll make it to the finals, and then we'll have to play Pittsburgh or whoever we'll have to play and see where it goes from there. But I think that team last year was saying, you know, if you were listening to their radio talk shows, they were saying, hey, if we don't get to the finals, this is really going to be a disappointing season.
And it was a disappointing season. Yes, they got the minor league coach fired. It got the assistant coaches fired.
Not everybody.
And, oh, by the way, the Blackhawks have officially been eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, which is good because we'll talk to Crispy tomorrow. And guess who made a bet saying the Blackhawks were going to get in the playoffs?
Crispy, did he?
It happened right here on the show. You were standing right there.
Oh, I didn't. I don't.
Everybody, oh, my God, Floyd.
Some of those real important events just kind of slide right through.
Oh, my God.
I don't track too many of
those.
Do
you remember when Sean was born?
Got all that.
Okay, good. As long as we don't forget that, that's what David is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wanting to answer your question about, you know, how does the end of the, you know, how you perform at the end of the season, does that translate into the playoffs? And I was wondering because, you know, back in 2014-15, the first year under Lavie, we got the playoffs against Chicago. And I was looking at, I remember some of the numbers, you know, the Preds didn't do too well, you know, going into that last month. I think, you know, that last couple of months was actually pretty tough. And Chicago had a really, they had a pretty tough end of the season as well. And I think,
but that's because Patrick Kane got hurt.
Yeah, and it's also true. And I wanted to say, you know, how does that translate into the playoffs? I don't think that has anything to do with, you know, how we finish the season versus what happens in the playoffs. Because
David, thank you for your call. Here's where his thing about what happened 2 years ago, the way that they lost that, how that translates to this team right now. Because what I thought happened at the end of 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, it was 3 years ago, was they just played Pekka too much. He got tired. And he was really not what he is right now in that Chicago series. I mean, they were up 3-0 in game one. If you give Pekka a 3-0 lead in game one of the first round of whoever you play this year, you are almost guaranteed to win the game.
Right.
So that he gave up a 3-goal lead in game one, gave in some easy goals in game three, and I think the Preds had a 2-0 lead and a 3-1 lead in game six, and he blew those leads. Like, that, I don't the way he's playing right now, that's not going to happen, I don't think. So that's kind of the difference between that and then. I don't take anything from what happened 3 years ago and apply it to what's going to happen this year because the teams are so drastically different. That team was like, I mean, Colin Wilson was one of the best forwards on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I agree with you. I don't think there's much you can take from any of the teams, really, in the past and apply to now. This team is
You can use some things from last year.
Different from all.
But you can use some things from last year. I mean, it's fairly similar to last year. But
in what way?
The players, the goalie, the coach.
The goalie? The goalie's totally different than he was last year.
Well, not last playoffs.
Teams are different than they were last year. I mean, don't you remember us talking about last year? Well, Pekka, you know, the month of December was awful, but then came January and he was great. Oh, but then February came and he was awful. I mean, we went up, down, it was the same thing with the team.
He really sucked last year.
It was awful. I mean, you can't, this Pekka is totally different than that Pekka.
More your calls, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Floyd, Tyron in Brentwood has called in.
Right.
I guess a very hot take on the Predators. We will get to that coming up. ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship station for the reigning Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and like us on Facebook to keep up with everything in Smashville. Twitter at 102.5 The Game, Instagram at The Game Nashville, Facebook.com/The Game Nashville. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman. I'm on Instagram at The Jared Stillman. And we need as many people to go follow that Instagram as possible. If you were following me on Instagram at The Jared Stillman, you would have been able to keep up with my trip. I Instagram storied a lot of what happened on my trip, including me out at the gala and me at the...
Yeah, I caught that.
Thank you, Floyd, and I'm sure you really enjoyed it. Again, that's at The Jared Stillman, and I'm like 30 followers away from 1,000, so be one of those 30 that will get me to the 1,000-follower mark. It'd be greatly appreciated. That's at The Jared Stillman. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I mean, we all agree with you, C-Mace, but I'm going to put one on a tee for you. Why don't goaltenders get enough run for the Hart Trophy, buddy?
You know what? Honestly, this is a tough one. It seems to have evolved into an offensive award. I think defensemen and goalies get overlooked, and people just go straight to the points and that type of thing. So I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's just become too hard to value the different positions, comparing them to each other. I don't know.
Chris Mason on Morning Drive. I got a stat for you, Floyd Reese.
Okay.
So this was sent to me by somebody on Twitter who says Carey Price's season, the last time a goalie won the Hart Trophy, was 2014-2015, so 3 years ago. Carey Price that season had 44 wins in a full season for the Montreal Canadiens. Pekka currently has 40 wins with 10 games to go. So that means that Pekka had four less wins, except Pekka could get to that 44 mark or could actually pass it and have more wins. Number two, save percentage. Carey Price, 9.33. Pekka Rinne, 9.31. Not much of a discrepancy. If Pekka saves like three more shots, like if Toronto comes out tomorrow night, Pekka saves the first three shots, I think he'll probably pass Carey Price in that regard. Pekka Rinne, again, with 10 games left, has eight shutouts this season. Carey Price had 9 shutouts. So a difference of 1 shutout. Now, the biggest difference, I think, in the stats are in the following tweet that the same guy sent me. When Carey Price was goalie of the Habs that year, they won 67% of their games, a 6.67 win percentage. Pekka this season is a 7.55. So Pekka wins 76% of his starts, Price 67. So Pekka clearly has Price beat there. The big difference, though, Price 1.96 goals against, so under 2, Pekka 2.21 goals against. So, significantly over 2. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I think that if those numbers are good enough to get you the Hart Trophy, then Pekka's numbers are good enough to get him the Hart Trophy, too.
Yeah, but I don't, like I mentioned before, you don't know who the competition was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's the competition this year? Is it really, really good? Or is it really, really, if there's no competition out there, you're probably right.
I think it's kind of crappy competition.
But if the competition is pretty good, I mean, if they're looking, it's like Chris just said, if they're looking at goals and they're looking at points and they're looking at a bunch of that kind of stuff, it's different. And you don't know, you know, who his competition was 3 or 4 or 5 years, whenever that was, years ago. I mean, he may not have had any competition.
I think the biggest
knock. Walked away with it.
The biggest difference between the two is that the national media looks at the Predators and thinks Pekka Rinne's really been good, but he's got four great defensemen in front of him. Whereas in Montreal, they felt like Carey Price had one really good defenseman in front of him, and that was P.K. Subban. And the other side of the coin is that, again, that's Montreal, and this is Nashville. And even though you want to act like there's not that big of a difference for national perception, there is. If Pekka Rinne was doing what he was doing with the New York Rangers this year, it would be, is it Taylor Hall, Nathan MacKinnon, Nikita Kucherov, or Pekka Rinne?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not on the Rangers, and he's not on the Maple Leafs, and he's not on Montreal, which is why, like, tomorrow night, like, Toronto is a great team that scores a bunch of goals. If Pekka shuts them out, that could be the one that starts it, because not only would it be another shutout, but it's Toronto. And everybody watches Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some element of that to that. Tyron in Brentwood has been waiting patiently. He's up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Tyron?
Oh, man, I tell you what, Jed, the Golden State Predators. I got a question. How much dope have you smoked today? My goodness, are you kidding me? Look here, Jack. Look, obviously, the Predators are going to win the President's Trophy. They're going to be the one seed, and they've been the best regular season. Key word, regular season.
So you mean like the Golden State Warriors?
Time out. No doubt about that. No getting around that. But let's pump the brakes on the Golden State Predators. Let me tell you something, man. The playoffs, that's a whole different animal, man. I mean, you say things like that, man, and my goodness, you're going to jinx them. They'll be out in the first round with talk like that. I mean, this is bullheaded, and I think a lot of this Predator fan base are along that same thinking, and you're going to be wrong, because I'm going to tell you like this. Your first round matchup, you're going to be in for a six-game series, but what you better hope is if, and I still stand by what I said, Predators, Penguins, and sequel. I mean, I'm going to stand by that till I'm proven wrong. But don't go disrespecting hockey about the Golden State Predators. Please. I mean, that's garbage. Because what you better hope is the Kings right now, I think they're third place in that division. You better hope they don't drop back to the last wild card spot.
Because
let me tell you right now, if you play the Kings in the first round, game seven, winner take all. You can book that. That's a seven-gamer. And that's what, you know what, I think that's what the Predators fan need. I think they need to see the Predators come out in the first round, get in a game seven, do or die. Hell, even better. Go to game six on the road, down 3-2, having to win 2 to advance. And then they'll get out of this arrogant, off-and-on thinking. Because let me tell you something, hockey don't roll like that. That's a real man sport. That's a real man championship. You got to earn it, and there ain't no freebies in the playoffs. You're in for a battle. I think you'll get back to the Stanley Cup Finals, but please, Golden State Predators, come on, Jed. Things you say and do make you scratch your head. Get off the drugs, pal.
Thank you, Tyron. Tyron has... had Tyron like 3 points.
Loves his hockey now.
He does. He had 3 points, all of which I had different feelings about. The first one about avoiding L.A. in the first round. I agree. I want no part of the L.A. Kings in the playoffs. Why? Because they got a goalie who's stolen 2 cups before. I want no part of that. I want no part of Jonathan Quick coming in here and winning a game at Bridgestone, and now all of a sudden you've got to go to L.A. and you better start winning. I don't want any part of that. So I agree with that. Number two. The idea that the Predators need a Game 7 in the first round, I don't agree with that. I think that that's just wrong. The Predators need a sweep in the first round, but, I mean, let's not get too greedy. The third thing, I don't think there's a guarantee that the first round goes 6. I mean, quite frankly, I expect them to win the first round in 4 or 5 games. Now, Anaheim makes it a little more difficult, but, like, if they play Colorado, they never lose to Colorado. Why the hell would they go 6 games with Colorado in the first round of the playoffs?
I have no idea. I just know this. I mean, you get in the playoffs. I mean, I'm worried.
Well, you're worried all the time. You were worried about Cleveland.
I worry all the time.
Again, I mean, if you're the Golden State Predators, which, as of right now, everybody on this show seems to think they are, if you're the Golden State Predators, you don't worry about playing Colorado in the first round. You don't. And honestly, you really shouldn't worry about Anaheim in the first round. But I do because it is Anaheim. But get out of here with this whole thing about, like, the Predators need a Game 7 in the first round. No, they don't. Last year, one of the best things that happened to them was sweeping Chicago, and they got a week off before they had to play St. Louis. That's the way to be.
Well, I think what he was saying is they need a Game 7 to bring them back to reality.
Right.
Not because they're kind of way out there right now.
The Golden State Predators, as of right now, until I deem otherwise. 615-737-1025. Okay, so this is a re-entry Wednesday for me since I was off the last 3 days. We got to talk about the Vols. Vol basketball, Vol women's basketball, and something that Vol fans absolutely need to hear. If you are a Vol fan, and a lot of Vols fans don't like me, I get it. In fact, there's entire fanboy honk radio stations in Knoxville that absolutely hate me. But if you are a Vols fan, you need to hear what I'm going to say next. You just need to listen. Because I just got to tell you the truth. We'll get to that next. Plus, we're giving away tickets to see Steven Tyler in concert. So don't miss that either. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, Floyd, I have a nickname.
Okay.
They call me the problem child. You know why?
I know absolutely why.
Because they don't want me, but they have to have me.
It wasn't exactly what I was thinking.
That's the truth, though.
Is it?
And sometimes, I'll just tell the truth, and sometimes people can't handle that. And for the most part, a lot of those people are fans of the Tennessee Volunteers. And I get it. If I was a diehard Vols fan, I probably wouldn't like me either. Because, let's not kid ourselves, I get on the Vols a lot. But the problem with the Vols is they keep doing stuff for us to get on them for. Yeah, I mean, that coaching search. People got mad because we were getting on the Vols for that coaching search and getting a coach fired off of Twitter and all that. You don't think that you needed to be get on for all that? We got to get on the Vols when they do things like that. So I need Vol fans to listen because they don't like me, right?
Right.
So maybe they should just start listening. Maybe they should start, instead of tweeting about how they get mad at when I say something, maybe they should listen to what I have to say. Because Rick Barnes in Tennessee goes out in the second round, and who on this show kept saying, hey, everybody that's excited about Vol basketball, let's wait until the NCAA tournament because this coach has a history of underachieving when he gets in there. So let's wait, let's see, let's do all these different things. And what happened in the NCAA tournament?
Did you think they underachieved?
Oh, significantly. The Vols this year?
The Vols?
With the draw that's coming their way, the Vols should have been in the Final Four.
Oh.
At least an Elite Eight matchup with Kentucky. The Vols could not have asked.
I was impressed the Vols got as far as they did.
You
got
to be kidding me.
No. They should have beat Loyola, right?
I mean, God bless them, or the NCAA Tournament Committee, either one, bless them with the sweetest draw. I mean, the sweetest draw you could ever ask for. They got a 16 seed in Wright State in the first game. Because I'm telling you right now, UMBC would have knocked the daylights out of Wright State. That Wright State team was awful. So you get a 16 seed basically in round one. You get Loyola Chicago in round two, who you should have beaten. And then after you beat them, you get Nevada? Oh, God, in Atlanta? It would have been like a home game for the Vols.
I think we need to talk to Ryan. I think Nevada beat his Cincinnati team pretty
good. Yeah, and you know what? That's what Cincinnati fans get for not buying tickets.
Okay, Ryan.
So, anywho, back to my other point. So, they got the easiest draw. The only other team that got as easy of a draw is Kentucky. Kentucky got an easy draw, too. But they would have met each other, so it would have, like, equaled the draws. So, they should have been in at least the Elite Eight or the Final Four. I told you guys this coach underachieves in the tournament. And guess what happened? He went out and did it. So maybe you should listen to me there. And I don't think
they underachieved.
Oh, my God. How do you not think that?
I don't think they underachieved.
I think when you get a team
that is picked 13th in the SEC, ends up co-champion, and goes to the second round of the playoffs, that's pretty good with the talent they have. Now, think about that team and compare it to Kentucky or compare it to some of these final teams. I mean, they are not that talented.
You think Loyola Chicago has more talent than the Vols?
They won, you know, so obviously
no,
they do.
Absolutely not. The Vols, I think it's, like, first of all, the Vols have some pretty good players. Like, Lamonte Turner's a pretty good player. Admiral Schofield is a good player. Grant Williams, now, he didn't have a good game, but Grant Williams.
Those guys, Williams, I'll give you. Those other guys.
Schofield, Turner?
Schofield's. If Schofield hit a series of threes, you got a chance. But he may hit them, and then he may disappear.
Which is exactly what happened in the SEC tournament, which is what I was worried about.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think those guys – I think those guys, considering where they came from, to get that far, I thought that was a pretty good season.
I don't give them too much credit because the media was stupid and picked them 13th. I don't look at it and say, well, the media said you were 13th. You hate the media. So for you to base, you know, well, hey, because the media picked them, that just means the media don't know. And so I think it was a disappointment, which we can get back into that part of it tomorrow. But I was right about this coach in March. I was right about your football coach, Butch Jones. I told you all then. I said, Butch Jones stinks. And everybody's like, no, Jared, he's going to bring Tennessee back. Well, we saw how that worked out. And how about the women's basketball team? Every year they set a new low. They keep setting the bar lower and lower every year in women's basketball. It used to be last year that they never lost in the second round ever. This year, it's that they've never lost in the second round at home. And then they went and did that. to an Oregon State team who, quite frankly, is rebuilding as a very good coach. They need to fire their women's basketball coach. People take a lot of pride in the Lady Vols and what they used to be, and so they gave it to a Pat Summitt assistant because they wanted to keep it like Pat. The problem is they don't win because this coach isn't very good. So you want it to be as Pat Summitt-like as possible, yet you're taking it as far away from Pat Summitt as you get because this coach can't win. And I've tried to tell all you about that for years, and I think now people are realizing this coach is it's just not going to work. But this takes me to my final point where, again, Jared's right about the Vols. Philip Fulmer doesn't care about women's basketball, and quite frankly, I don't think he cares too much about men's basketball. The truth is, Philip Fulmer cares about one sport, and that's football. And we have to wait and see if this new football coach will ever get them going again. But if you think Philip Fulmer is calling out trying to get Jeff Walls right now or trying to get a good coach out there, Scott Rusick, or if he's out there looking for a good – Philip Fulmer don't care. And I like Philip Fulmer. But do you really think Philip Fulmer is going to fire Holly Warlick even though he should fire Holly Warlick? No, because Fulmer cares about football. So, Vol fans, you guys can keep yelling at me, and you can get your – loser fanboy radio stations that tweet mean things about Sister Jean, how you got a problem with Sister Jean is beyond me. By the way, that tweet about Sister Jean may be one of the most classless things I've ever seen.
Awful.
I mean, that's embarrassing.
Should be fired for that.
Oh, no. You get a raise for that at that loser station. But anywho, so, you need to listen to me because I'm telling you the truth about these things about the Vols. You're going to have a great team at UT in a couple years, and they'll be like a one seed or a two seed, and everyone will be jazzed up about Vol basketball, and Rick Barnes will lose again in the second round. Rick Barnes, I don't think, has been to the Sweet 16 in 10 years or something like that. I mean, come on, Rick Barnes. I think it's, 10 years ago he was there with DJ Augustine and those guys. So, Vol fans, this is my olive branch of peace. You need to listen to me because I'm so right about the Vols. And I'm so tired of being right and people being mad at me when all I am is telling them what they need to hear about their team. Oh, it drives me crazy. You know what doesn't drive me crazy? Steven Tyler. Caller 5-615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Steven Tyler in concert at the Carl Black Chevy Woods Amphitheater at Fontenelle on Saturday, May 12th. Tickets on sale 10 a.m. this Friday. Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth and
Sean Henry.
Ryan Porth and Sean Henry, Preds Insiders is next. It's Jared the GM back tomorrow at 2.